Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Chris Tannehill.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Today, we got a new member on the team at the Combine. The team being Jews.
How about this leaflet, famous Jewish sports legends?
Jerry Jeudy from Alabama. He wears a Star of David necklace.
Right.
And this is not just any Star of David necklace. It's not just like a little small gold one. I mean, it's a clearly customized.
Substantial.
All the jewelry and all the stuff.
You know, it's raised some questions. Like, what's going on here? Why is it? Is he half Jewish? I did not know. Is he full Jewish?
The better half.
My daughter says that you're half Jewish.
Just the good half.
Well, he was wearing it at the Combine today, and he was asked the question, and he had quite the explanation.
Oh, so my last name, Jeudy. People sometimes call me short for Jew, like one Jew. So I just got a Jewish star. So yeah, I'm not Jewish, though.
A Jewish star? I just got a Jewish star.
Hang a star on that one.
He didn't quite realize just how many members of the media and the press corps there were Jewish. That were laughing.
You don't think?
I don't think so. I'm a stand-up comedian.
I'm not Jewish, though.
It's not a good idea to be a wise guy right now.
Not a lot of Jews in football. Jerry Jeudy, member of the tribe today.
Okay.
I'm buying the jersey.
I am in a nest of Jews. They have cleverly shifted their shapes. One of them has taken the form of a little old woman. You can barely see her horns.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Jerry Jeudy, still on the team. I don't care that he apologized.
Yeah, it's funny, too, that the scene we were talking about from Borat, we just yesterday, winds up appearing in opening ceremonies.
It's funny how that happens.
One day later, shaping. That's awesome.
Someone sent me a tweet last night saying, I had to just queue up Borat after your guys' conversation.
That's good. The power of suggestions, powerful.
It works with me with food.
Me too.
I saw someone, I think it was Adam Johns, I don't remember, but someone on Twitter was talking about the beef and cheddar croissant from Portillo's.
Yeah, I'm going Bigsy. That's my bet.
I'm still blocked. I can't see any recommendations from him. And I saw it, and I was just like, man. And then I found myself downtown. I was like, I'm just swinging through that old drive-thru for the old beef and cheddar.
Oh, the NFL on Sunday will tantalize you, man. If it's like the Vegas of fast food. All of the neon is right there for you all day. You're looking at Pizza Hut logos, KFC, all the things that get you in trouble. And I often bite. I often wind up getting late Sunday afternoon something I saw an ad for earlier in the day. That's why they advertise.
Yeah, advertising does work.
Yeah.
And I will say also, the beef and cheddar croissant is delicious. I normally go big beef. I normally go with the big beef, but the beef and cheddar, more manageable.
Not an enormous fan of that operation over these years. Love the potato cakes, though.
Talk about a sports radio contrarian take. Good God.
Mm. Yeah, I think we need to stop all programming.
Honestly?
You don't like Portillo's? What's not to love?
That's like my movie takes times 10.
What's not to like about the big beef?
I think it's fine.
Nothing, Danny.
It's fine. I don't think it's any better than Pops. I'm okay with. I would rather have a Pops Italian beef, actually.
Well, listen,
let me put it this way. I wouldn't go out of my way for it.
Oh, see, I definitely go out of my way for it.
Okay.
I mean, define out of your way, like 60 miles out of your way. Okay, we're talking.
We bought our home because it was near one.
I think it's reasonable.
They have really good malts.
Everything.
Not that I can have those.
Yeah, the chocolate cake.
It's equidistant between two of them.
Yeah, okay.
So,
All right.
The beef and sausage combo.
Okay.
It's a great menu. It's efficient.
Okay.
They serve beer.
They're very. I ate a one in December in Arizona. I use. In fact, my brother and I went twice to a Portillo's. So I do. I spend money there, and the drive-through very efficient for ordering a big meal. I was very impressed with that. How quickly we got in and out.
Yeah, I mean it's incredible. It's like the
they're
old
getting beef sandwiches.
The old the most efficient restaurant I've ever seen in this place was they closed it was the Potbelly at Midway. The Potbelly at Midway Airport, the sandwich line could be 200 people deep. It would stretch into the concourse. It was the first restaurant when you went to the food court, like right through the security terminal, and they would be coming. They'd have an iPad, and they would be taking your orders 100 people deep in the line. And by the time you got there to where the grill thing or whatever it's called where the sandwich goes through it,
yes.
It's like the conveyor belt. It's not really a grill.
The grill thing.
You know what I'm talking about.
I think I know what
the conveyor belt of sandwiches. Yours would be coming out perfectly timed as you got to the front of the line. It was honestly magical. I was like, we landed on the moon and this Potbelly works. It's pretty much the same thing. And that's kind of how I look at Portillo's. The line's out the door. The line's out the door. Looks like it's going to take you an hour and a half, and I got a big beef sandwich 15 minutes later.
Very, very nice. Lots of reaction coming in on Portillo's. Sports Radio Hot Buttons, the Italian beef sandwich. And whenever we receive texts at 670-11, it's on the Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin text line. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com.
And people keep coming
in. Kind of taking ownership of that these last few days. Kind of like that. I'll take that with me to Arizona.
All right, please do. I got enough pieces of paper
over
here.
That's what I'm saying.
I appreciate it. But is it because it's so good and so highly rated that it just needs to be called overrated? Is that what's happening to Portillo's?
Perhaps.
Because
people are coming in with all their beef spots. Like, we never said it was the best beef. We're
right.
just talking about the establishment in general.
It's awesome.
So okay. versatile.
Right.
So delicious.
Yes. I was talking the
Reliable.
Chocolate cake. The chocolate cake is tremendous.
See, I got the heart-shaped one for my gals at Valentine's Day. You got to do it.
It's perfect.
I mean, shake you should try, Mac.
Yeah.
Like, if you like the chocolate cake. Go with the shake. Ooh, baby.
Let's not talk about cake. Let's not talk about shakes. I'm sorry I even brought the damn malt up a little bit ago. I mean, with Parkins downstairs today at a restaurant called Wildberry, their best foods are their breakfast, most specifically crepes. And yes, I will enjoy a crepe. Not anymore. Gotta watch that sugar, man. My weight's down 9.5 pounds since surgery 12 days ago.
You're crushing it, man.
230.5 elbows.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Do you have a target weight?
Yeah, I'd like to be 205.
205?
205, yeah. 205, 200, right away. Yeah, I got a little bit below 200 back in Shep's fitness era, the 0-9-10 era when
you guys
were
Hawks just fighting
were playing
each other,
Flyers.
Sparring.
Yeah. Been.
I looked sick though.
Ages.
I looked sick. I see those pictures of us
about?
In Philadelphia, and I looked like I was ill. I had just like there's no neck. It was I looked sick. I was.
No, I think it's the Led Zeppelin hockey sweater is what made
is
you look
that
way.
What it was because that's one of the pictures I'm referring to. boy. I'm proud of you at 230. Thanks.
Progress. I'm not saying that's
like when
I'm not
your
saying...
kid comes home with a C- and it's an uptick. Nice job, son. You're working hard.
It's progress. You're working in the right direction. You got diabetes and you don't want to you want to keep living.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes, sir.
I could say fat ass. get your ass in gear. Like, I could do that. I'm trying to be encouraging.
Well, that's, you know what? You need some
that's
of that.
Another motivational tactic, yeah.
Tough love worked for me many, many years ago, Terry Bors, and there is nothing worse than a reformed fat guy because he was a pig for a long, long time. And then
he's going to be Zawoski and Camp's show in 30 years. They're both
reformed
be
fat guys,
65, like telling everybody how to live better lifestyle.
Yeah, Terry was so annoying. It was a commitment to.
What do you mean was?
Yeah, well, I mean with that particular, and he was right though, and he was kind of he big brothered me, and he insulted me enough where I finally got tired of it because he was right, so I did something about it.
Well, now this time it took a cardiologist.
Took a cardiologist, an internist who didn't want me to give me clearance for surgery.
And you have a desire to live.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
I do.
That helps. Top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Thursday. They've got Illinois at 7. Tickets on sale at NUSports.com. The hour also brought to you by Razney Jewelers. So we got Mark Grody from the Combine at 3 o'clock. Mac has a cornucopia of football thoughts. He's scouting players. He's got underrated stories. I could do 3 hours on Coby White, but no, the Bulls don't deserve it. So we are going to go into the treasure trove of Dan McNeil's brain for what we need to know for Combine Week coming up on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I think we passed the eye test. You know, I think we only saw him for, you know, a few practices in underwear, you know.
Ah, the underwear Olympics, the awkwardness that is the NFL Combine. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Thursday. They've got Illinois at 7. Tickets on sale at NUSports.com. We went to break, and Max said, what the hell kind of tease was that? Listen, I don't know. You got a guy. You got a guy at the Combine.
I'd forgotten the underrated over conversation because you said underrated, overrated. And I said, oh, okay, we were talking about a restaurant a little bit ago.
Yeah.
Okay, I had totally forgotten that. See, that's how so many things are happening here so fast. Yeah. John Fox we heard on the way out, wasn't it? The former Bears head coach?
Who could forget?
Yeah. Foxy. Yeah. He was a special act, wasn't he?
No,
he wasn't.
No.
The combine.
It wasn't Ryan Pace's fault that he got the job.
Yeah, that's true. The combine has the big boys working out today, and Grody will check in at the top of the hour and tell us. I asked him earlier in the week to spend a little time with a kid I watched in the Reese's Senior Bowl. He was a tackle out of the University of Houston named Joshua Jones. Why are you grinning like a Cheshire cat over there? What's on your mind? Tell me.
Well, tell Daddy.
What's on your mind?
Who was the guy in Hard Knocks that was the tight end that was Canadian?
That was Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson.
Who Mac forgot his name last week. I don't think you were here for that. But he forgot his name.
I forgot his name.
I'm just smiling because the Dan McNeil School of Scouting sometimes strikes me as
what?
A method of convenience. Like Luke Wilson was a tight end on a TV show that you were watching who was from Canada, and so you liked that guy. My guess is this tackle from Houston might have come across a screen at a convenient time. Have you watched every tackle in this year's draft class, for example?
Of course not.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Forget Josh Jones. Let's go back to the Luke Wilson commentary.
Okay, let's do it.
Did the Bears not have an absence of tight ends?
They did.
Did we see in September they were struggling and there was no sign of Trey Burton ever resurfacing?
They had problems.
So I made a suggestion based on a guy who was cut, who was a good player when he was with the Seahawks, a serviceable player. I never contended he was, you know, going to make anybody ever forget the coach.
He had 8 catches for 79 yards last year.
That would, you know what? The Bears' leading tight end caught 7 passes. Did you know that?
All season?
Yes. Yes.
Is that accurate?
J.P. Holtz caught 7 passes. That was the most of any Bears tight end.
Well, then,
that would have made him the most productive Bears.
Luke, 8, 7, 6, 7, 8. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, no, Luke Wilson caught 8 passes for 79 yards.
But then I was 30-year-old
Canadian.
When I was at week 6, when I was driving back from college listening to NFL radio and listening to the Seahawks game, I mentioned to you the Seahawks broadcasters had noted how impressive he was in run blocking on that day. Luke Wilson with another fine block to make that thing happen and get that play outside. Look at how he hooks the tight end.
Not that it's much more than 9, but Trey Burton Burton did have 14 receptions this past game.
Stats are like bikinis. They show some things, but not all things.
Adam Shaheen also added 9.
So the Bears had two tight ends with more production than Luke Wilson last year.
All right.
Actually, yeah, well, yeah, 9 for Shaheen. Jesper Horsted just behind with 8.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Okay, so Luke Wilson would have been the 3rd or 4th most productive tight end. It's fine. It's fine. I was just smiling. I was going to let you cook and let you do your report on the tackle.
Well,
what's his name? Jason Jones? What's his name?
God.
I'm asking his
Josh name. Jones.
Josh Jones. I'm sorry.
He is
Josh Jones, tackle Houston.
Yeah, tackle
I will be well
Houston.
Versed. All right.
I watched the Senior Bowl just watching the tackles play, and I watched 3 of the 4 quarters, so I'm not pretending to tell you today that I've seen a ton of Houston Cougars football. I haven't. But at the Senior Bowl, he was the best tackle on the field, and I didn't want to be prejudiced going in, so I didn't read anything. I didn't go and do a search on who's ranked where and which guy. And what do I see? Of the guy, if I find one I like who might be a good move at 43 when the Bears pick, what are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? And I actually wound up filling out a pretty accurate scorecard on what this guy does well. He's 6'7", 310. He has long, thick arms. He has a tremendous punch and keeps good distance between himself and pass rushers while having the ability to recoil and reset his base. Technically, he's a very good player. Mel Kiper at the time had him going in the 1st round at number 25 to the Vikings. I don't know if Mel's mock has changed, but I did not see him in the 1st round yesterday when watching a ton of guys who do this sort of thing, the mock drafts on NFL.com, as they were crawling by. I did not see one guy have him in the 1st round, but there were 6, 7, 8 offensive tackles chosen in the 1st round. This is a year where the tackle vineyard has produced fruit on the vine.
Well, listen, for the Bears, that's good, right? If it's a good offensive lineman draft and a good wide receiver draft, those are two areas where the Bears could stand to use some serious improvement. So, Josh Jones from Houston.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Yeah, he's a 3-year starter. He also played a ton as a freshman. So, if they wind up taking Joshua Jones, I would be happy about that. If they take a tackle at 43, I will be happy.
Right, you'll talk yourself into any tackle, right?
Yes.
Just because of position of need.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's not the kid from Michigan State who was just awful in the Senior Bowl. And whoever the tackles were on the South, they were terrible too. The poor South quarterbacks never got a chance to show scouts what they could do in that game because they were smothered by defenders from the North, just draped all over them. The pass protection in the 2nd half in particular was terrible in that game.
Of the Senior Bowl. Yeah,
yes.
Sometimes, you know, it's interesting what the GMs prioritize in a game like that. Are you looking at the drill? I've had GMs, you read about it, sometimes they don't even stay for the game, and it's all about the practices leading up to it. And then they'll say, the combine, I don't want to fall in love with just the athletic traits there. Put on the film. Watch the games from this guy at Houston and see how he actually did in
what,
real
what
competition.
What's alarming, though, is that, okay, maybe you can look great in a game and it doesn't mean much, but especially for an offensive tackle in that game where they don't have traditional blitzing allowed and you can only run base defenses, to look bad, especially in pass protection, that seems like a problem.
Yes, it was.
Fair point.
It was. So anyway, this kid's got an attitude, I'm told. You want to give this guy a listen? Grody spent all morning with him.
What do we have on
Josh Jones?
I think I'm sold on the kid.
Yeah.
I like him.
You want a little bit of nasty in your offensive lineman, Mr. Look to the kid from Richmond, TX. Look to number 77, Josh Jones.
Man, you know, I just wanted to bury guys every single time I got out there. You know, my O-line coach, Brandon Jones, pushed me to do that, to be violent out there. I feel like that's one thing I wasn't showing on tape so far. It's just finishing guys, and that's what I wanted to do.
So you felt like that was something you really had to start showing last year?
Definitely. That's just something of my game that I wanted to put on film to show these scouts, you know, what I can do, you know, and just to better help my team.
That's something good to put on film, burying guys. That's good. That's good. When you're a tackle, you put that on film. Yes.
I'm in.
I like that.
Can he play right tackle?
He can play both.
Okay. I like that.
He hasn't played since his freshman year, he said, but he's willing to do whatever it takes for the team. But he's a left tackle.
Did you listen to all 12 minutes that Grody said?
I skimmed through it, yeah. I think I got a good gauge on the kid. You want to send me down to the combine?
All right, we're ready.
I love Tanny's reply to Grody. What in here should I take?
I get 10 minutes of this kid talking. I'm thinking it's going to be one cut or two. It's just 10 minutes of a raw file.
On the tackle from Houston.
Yeah, and I said, Groats, what's best in here? Oh, it's real good, man. Don't know if anything stands out. Okay, give us a clue. Give us a hint.
You don't want 10 minutes straight of him?
I don't think so.
All right, well, when Bernstein and McKnight play Who's Your Guy?
I have a guy.
Mac has a guy.
So I've humored you with a name. I want an offensive tackle.
And I think he would be a good fit in Matt Nagy's system.
Well, this past season, man, we ran a lot of pulls with me, man. Guard tackle counter pull with me. Just get me out in the open, you know, let me get, you know, a little on a linebacker, you know, put him in the ground, you know, get me going, you know, get my guys going. So screens, any of that. But still, I like, you know, downhill run plays, kind of set my path, especially at the beginning of the game. Let me get going, you know, so we can set the tone for sure. Those corners and linebackers, they don't want, you know, they see a 300-pound man running at them. You know, they got to make a decision. They get out the way, you know, duck, you know, whatever they got. Do but you know that just open up lanes and open up, you know, pathways for the running backs and receivers.
There he is. That's my man.
Bears might have to trade up for him. Sounds too good to be true.
Watch him be there all weekend.
With the 180th pick. Yeah,
the last time I had a guy from the Senior Bowl, he wound up, he did get drafted in the third round by the Dolphins. He was in the Arena League in 18 months.
That's all right.
I was convinced that guy was just going to be a stud muffin forever. Corey Swinson was his name. He wound up playing for my guy Jack Youngblood on the Orlando team in the Arena League.
Shep, how's our mock draft prep coming? Do we have 43 guests lined up for draft day?
Do we need them different from the teams that are picking twice in front of theirs? It can't be a repeat.
No, they can stay. They can stay on the line and just, you know, they're 27 picks between.
All right, Mr. Raiders, you're at 18 and you're at 41. We'll talk to you in a half hour.
Yeah, I see no problem with that. I'm sure they'll have a problem with it, but it'll be an award-winning segment.
Oh, that would be something. That would be a thing.
We'll get Mark Grody's full report on Josh Jones and the rest of the NFL Combine coming up in 20 minutes, but I found myself in a very uncomfortable place last night. It's next on The Score.
It's loose and picked up by White over the timeline. Here is Kobe at the top of the key for three. Bam! Kobe White, timeout. OKC, come to Papa!
Cherry pie falling from the sky, Mr. Swirsky. Chicago Bulls within 1 point, 87-86. Timeout on the floor.
Yeah!
Moving the product last night right here on your home for Bulls Buckets.
Bulls optimism. Kind of. In a three-game stretch.
Come to Papa!
Against the Suns, Wizards, and Thunder.
Oh, that is awesome.
It really is great. Let's call Swirsk at some point today.
I'd like a conversation with Chuck. He's a cheery guy. And Kobe White, he was on the ground floor with the rookie.
He had him in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he did.
Swirsk had Kobe White in the Hall of Fame.
He spiked the ball today with us.
We will ask him if he still feels like he's on pace for Springfield. This segment, by the way, brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature. Isn't that where it is?
It just doesn't roll off the tongue like Cooperstown or Canton.
No, it really
does. I had to think about it. Is he going downstate?
No. Springfield, Mass. Yeah.
Think about it.
Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Great food at a great price at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. So, Kobe White, three straight games, 33 points or more.
Come to Papa!
First time it's happened for a player off the bench in the NBA. He's great. He is dominating. It's very impressive. It's clearly clicking. Yeah, a couple of these teams have been bad defenses or whatever, but he's playing very confidently, and it's good, right? Dunn is hurt. Markkinen's hurt.
Someone has to shoot.
Porter's hurt, and he is stepping up, and he's doing it efficiently. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't just garbage time minutes in losses. He's playing competitive basketball in competitive games. But because it's Bulls fans, and because Jim Boylan is the coach, and because Garpax is here, and because it's another wasted season, everything is funneled through or filtered through a lens of cynicism. And I get it. But instead of just saying, wow, this is a guy who turned 20 years old 10 days ago and is scoring 30-plus easily, seemingly, in the NBA, it immediately moves to, Well, imagine what it would be if he was starting. Why isn't he starting? What does it take for him to start under Jim Boylan? And obviously they could make Coby White a starter tomorrow and he would be an upgrade in their starting lineup. But I don't really see the urgency here. Like, what's the need?
He's still getting his minutes, right?
He's second on the team in minutes in this stretch, right, only behind Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
He's averaging 30 minutes a game for the month of February.
He's getting his chance.
He's finishing games. He gets to play stretches when LaVine is actually on the bench and be the number one option.
Is it too late for him to win Sixth Man of the Year?
Yeah. Is it? It is probably.
Has that horse left the barn? Since we were told it would be a bad thing if he were a Rookie of the Year candidate by Will Perdue.
That was an odd take.
Started.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
how about that? Would that be bad?
Yeah. Listen, he would have probably been in the Rising Stars game All-Star weekend if he would have been starting earlier. Okay. That's gone. Maybe he'd get a little bit more national recognition. But last night, Chris Paul was shouting him out on Twitter. Ja Morant was shouting him out on Twitter. He's getting discussed in the NBA media ecosystem. Like, people will watch. People will figure it out. It's not like this is going to be anonymous. When you're doing things that haven't happened since Michael Jordan in Chicago, people are going to pay attention on a local and national level. And the idea of him needing to start now, he hasn't been doing this for 33 games. He's done it for three.
Baby steps.
So yeah, just chill.
Baby steps.
And I will say, I was in a really uncomfortable position, Mac, because I was agreeing with Jim Boylan. I felt really awkward. Felt really uncomfortable. Like, this is how Sam Smith posed the question to Jim Boylan last night and the answer that we got post-game.
Does it make any sense to just take a look at Coby and Zach together to get that energy to start a game?
I keep getting this question, and I'm just going to answer it one more time. Coby's in a good place. We're going to keep him in a good place, and we'll see how it goes. I understand what you're trying to ask, but let's let Coby keep playing, and let's let him keep developing, and let's keep him in a good spot, and that's my goal right now. So thank you.
We need to get Cody to New York. We got to have Cody ask him after the Knicks game Saturday night, why isn't Coby White starting? Because he said he was only going to answer it one more time last night.
Yeah, and it's a legitimate question. And if the season had meaning, I would be pushing for it more. If he had been doing this for more than three games, I'd be pushing for it more. It will happen eventually, hopefully. You want the seventh overall pick who can score 30 with ease to be a starter. But 4 games ago, he played 30 minutes and he had 12 points. And he shot 27% from the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a very, very new thing with him clicking. So let him see the game for the first 4-6 minutes. Then come in with confidence in this role. These games don't matter. Like, they don't. All that matters is his development. What is gained by starting him?
Right, and that's why, you know, that is something to be gained. You called it a waste of a season. I understand when you're not a playoff team, I get why you would feel that way, but there is some room for development for young guys like that who are going to be here for a while. So not wasted completely. If you can get something out of it, you can get this guy some experience and some confidence.
Yeah, all I'm saying is this season needed a bright spot. Badly, because Markkanen regressed and got hurt. Wendell Carter didn't take the step forward that you were hoping for, largely because of injury. Zach LaVine's been balling, but not getting a ton of recognition for it, and it feels like he'll never be here when they get good. Otto Porter's been hurt. You're spending $27 million on him.
Yeah.
This season needed a bright spot. And if Coby White can finish the last, whatever, 20-something game, 23 games, and score 20 a game, that would be massive, whether it's off the bench or starting or good teams, bad teams. Like, just take your victories where you get them.
Box score, I saw I had only 3,500 empty seats last night. Did you?
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I was expecting maybe a third of the building empty, not anywhere near it. They had a pretty close to capacity crowd, at least based on what the box score
said.
Yeah,
it was not a noticeable story of the game like I thought it was going to be with what the ticket market was looking
like. We need that.
And the snowstorm.
We
I know.
Need that.
I know. Bulls fans are committed.
They're not. You think it's Bulls fans or you think it's United Center fans?
I don't know.
Fans of the show the Bulls put on there?
Yeah, it's a big season ticket base. It's a big fan base. I don't know.
Yeah, my perception of it has been you can't get anything for those things. You sell them on a secondary market, you're losing money. Oh, you're just trying to
get 50 cents
on the dollar.
I'm just saying there's so many Bulls fans and it's an affluent fan base that there's a large season ticket base still, even if it's dwindling. Because their attendance is down, but their TV ratings are slightly up, and it's such a big stadium that they still put a lot of people in the building. So it hasn't hit them that way, that hard yet, but all I'm saying is someone who has been watching recently, we have it. We have our one bright spot.
Okay, you got it.
One.
You got something out of the year. You got your Dilly Bar. How much of the game did you actually watch? You didn't sit down and start and finish it, did you?
No, but it was on. It was top screen, and then it was main screen for the fourth quarter.
Really?
Yeah, I'm watching. I don't know why.
Atta baby.
Yeah, I'm checking it out. He's playing great. He's attacking the rim. He's hitting threes. He's taking open mid-range shots.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Being a playmaker. He's playing great. Just don't. Don't act like it's been 30 games. It's been...
Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall!
It's been three.
Come the Papa!
Big
time, Onions!
We'll call Swirsk at some point to talk about Coby White's Hall of Fame candidacy, but we go to Indianapolis for Mark Grody's takes on offensive tackles and, you know, the Bears next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.